Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
A car is never just a car. Kelley Blue Book knows it's so much more than that. It's your commuting chariot, your road trip refuge, your I just need a reason to get out of the house. Your car is there for everything. And for everything car, there's Kelley Blue Book. Need a new set of wheels? Price it on Kelley Blue Book. Problem under the hood? Fix it with Kelley Blue Book. Can another car do the job better? Trade it or sell it on Kelley Blue Book. We're here mile after mile, moment after moment. Price it, fix it, trade it, sell it. KBB.com. Visit KelleyBlueBook.com to get the journey started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Good Game, Nice Try. I'm doing it. I'm just doing it. Normally, we're like, who's going to start? And I just started. It's Friday. I'm very, very excited for today's episode and today's guest. Today, we have kind of a theme for today's episode.
It's a special day.
And Sonia, why is it a special day?
It's a pretty big day. I mean, we loved the first one, and now the sequel is out. It's Sonic Day, baby.
Yeah,
hey. Baby. Sonic 2 is finally out, so go watch it immediately. Pause the podcast. Go watch it. Come back. I won't blame you.
I will blame you slightly. Have the podcast playing while you watch it. How about that?
Both.
A compromise.
Simultaneously.
But it's so funny because it's like I think that Sonic might be one of the best video game to movie adaptations out there. I love the first one. Seen it multiple times. And I don't know. I think one of the reasons why I love it is it captures the same feeling that I had when playing the games, which is great, you know?
Yeah. I know. I feel like just thinking of the video game to movie adaptations that we've had so far, it's been really hit or miss.
And mostly miss.
We've had a lot of misses so far. So to see something that, especially something as like delicate and ingrained into people's childhoods like Sonic, yeah. I feel like it's something so, so special. And they crushed it.
They crushed it.
And they really care about, it feels like they really care about not only people who are kind of new to the Sonic universe and people who are new to the game and new to don't have like a lot of history with Sonic. And then they also pay so much attention to the little details and the Easter eggs to make the people who are so in love with Sonic even more happy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And it's one of those things where it's like, and this is, by the way, I saw House of the Dead in the theater. So like, I'm a big fan of video game adaptations into movies. But just think about, for instance, like the Super Mario Brothers movie.
The original?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, and think about how far we've come. I mean, you know, there was this whole, I don't know if you guys remember, but there was this whole thing of before the first Sonic movie was going to come out, the designs of the character of Sonic hit the web and everyone was pissed.
It was funny. I was just thinking about how, you know, how that was the thing, right? The beginning, the eyes. The eyes just
the teeth?
It didn't fit. And how they, you know, it changed immediately.
And they listened to the fans.
They listened.
Think about, like, talk about public discourse 101. Like, listen to your fans because they turned something that could have been a disaster into a bonus because then everyone went to go see the movie because they were like, wow, they listened to us. So I think right off the bat, the producers and the director, Jeff Fowler, made incorporated fans into the movie by just simply listening to them. And Sonic 2 is, we got Idris Elba, we got Tails in there. It just looks like they upped the ante on every single aspect of the
They
universe.
Upped the ante in so many different ways in this movie. And particularly what I'm most excited about is the absolutely epic Dr. Robotnik mustache now. Like we finally got the full stash.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I know. And it doesn't take itself too seriously, which I think is the mm-hmm. other real problem with video game adaptations is they kind of think like, oh, and this was true, I think, for comic books as well. You go back and you look at the first kind of X-Men movies, they're just taking themselves so seriously. And really, you know, what Marvel kind of did was be like, oh, we're going to take the piss out of ourselves a little bit because these are people flying around. Mm-hmm. This is craziness happening. And Sonic does that as well. It's like, yeah, it's a hedgehog that runs really fast. We know this is ridiculous, but it's really fun. And I think that's why I love it. So I'm super excited to see Sonic 2, which comes out today. I'm even more excited because today we have Sonic himself, Mr. Ben Schwartz, coming back onto the podcast.
Yes.
That's right. The one and only. So, you know, aside from being the voice of Sonic, you know him from Parks and Recreation. He's in Space Force with Steve Carell and the new Apple TV Plus show, The After Party, which, by the way, fantastic. Lord and Miller did this show. It's Sam Richardson. It's Dave Franco. It's all these fantastic people. Check that out as well. He's also, of course, a gigantic gamer and nerded out with us last time. We went deep down the rabbit hole as we do again this time. Here's our interview with the one and only Ben Schwartz.
What a great intro. Thank you guys so much for having me. You guys both did so good. I can't wait to talk video games. I can't wait to talk what we're all playing.
I'm very excited. But I have to say a thing very quickly. You were recording this in the past. You just did Colbert last night.
I did.
And I have to say, as a person who has spent 20 years working on a late night show, I just wanted to say what a great job I thought you did.
You're the best. Let me tell you what happened. First of all, lovely to be here. What an intro. I appreciate it. And you guys said who you were in that intro? Everybody said their own names?
Well, they all know us.
No, they're just guessing.
They're guessing. Okay, so everybody's just guessing.
Keep them guessing.
The very cool part about that is that I worked at The Late Show with David Letterman. So I worked in that theater before. So when I came, you get dropped off at the side entrance there, and there are people that are there to take pictures of you. Then there are fans that ask for autographs. But there's a security person that stops people in the traffic so you can move in. And that's the same security person that was around when I was a page at Letterman. His name is Bill DeLace.
Oh, my
and
God.
So this, just to give you backstory on him, he's an old school cop that was a detective and then was Letterman's guy and was the Late Show head of security for a long time. So when I started off, I was a page, and I would wake up very early when I was living with my parents in Westchester still. We moved from the Bronx to Westchester. And when I was there, I'd write jokes at 6 a.m. I'd take the train down. I'd do my first half of being a page, which is giving out the tickets and whatever. And then I would sleep in Bill's office because I wouldn't have slept much. So I would sleep in Bill's office. I would get out. I would do the second half of being a page. And then after the second half, I would go to UCB, and I would take classes. And then I would go home on the very last train and get about 4 hours of sleep every single night. So that's why if I didn't have Bill's place to take my, instead of eating lunch, I went to sleep. So he saw me there and he's like, Ben, he goes, you did it. You're in that chair. And he gives me a big hug and we're hugging each other. And it's so special and lovely. Aww. And then someone from the sound department came over who was there back in the day and someone else. And they're all giving me big hugs. And I take them over to the line where, you know, you have to take photographs. And I had Bill around my arm and we're taking photographs and he's smiling and he's kind of tearing up a little bit because it's like, I love the guy. He was so nice to me when I was a kid. It was such a special thing. And then the Colbert going well and allowing me to be silly on it was like for an 11:30 show never happens. And it was like, I can't tell you guys how happy I was. And you're the first person I'm talking to after it happened.
Aww.
Yeah.
Very honored. And what a crazy full circle.
Yeah, right.
That's beautiful. Mm.
And how is it going? I mean, you know, with the first movie, I guess like everyone obviously wanted it to be a success, but you kind of don't know until it comes out. And it's this huge thing. And obviously now Sonic 2, amazing, huge. And so is this press tour, how is this press tour going? Is it surreal? What have been some highlights for you besides Colbert?
I'm doing a movie in New Orleans right now called Renfield, and it stars Nicolas Cage as Dracula and Nicholas Holt as Renfield and Awkwafina as a cop, and I play the bad guy. And Sonia, put up your arms real quick. In my show, so in my arms are shaved because literally So she has like these incredible tattoos on her arms. They tap me all the way up and down my arms.
You're all tatted up.
Yeah, they tap me all the way up my neck and my chest.
Yes.
And so like for like and each tattoo, it's this makeup thing called the Tinsley Transfer, which was developed by Christian Tinsley, who works on our movie. And so I have them and I can keep them for 3 days in a row or 2 days in a row. So the process of putting them on is almost like when you were a kid, those water the tattoos where you put water on.
Oh, yeah, like the temporary ones, yeah.
That's exactly it. And then they put a sealant on top of it. And so like when you sweat, it doesn't do it. And it's basically like half that thing and half glue. So the thing itself like stays on you because it's all one piece.
Wow.
And then it kills up. So I get to like walk around New Orleans with like cool tattoos.
Just looking hard.
Just looking as good as I can. But it's been great. And it's way less pressure because the first time we did press for it, it was like, oh my goodness, I hope people like the voice. I hope people like the movie. I hope people like the design that we changed it now. And now it's people like those things. Now it's like, oh, I hope they love what we did. We just made it like huge. We just made a huge movie. Mm-hmm. And for you guys, it's going to be extra fun because if you're a video game nerd and you really play games, there are so many Easter eggs in this. And there's even just freeze frames of Sonic or like Sonic does like from like, remember like the box art where he's like this.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, there's all these, that's not going to help for an audio format. But
use your imagination out there.
Imagine the box art.
There's so much stuff. And Idris is amazing as Knuckles. And then Colleen, who plays Tails, is Tails, and she's amazing.
That's incredible.
So cool.
I have to say, man, you know, it kind of bums me out that there's no, like, box art anymore. Like, it's a bit of a bummer.
A lost art.
Like, buying to – it's, like, weird.
Video games?
Yeah. Like, we've fallen into this weird thing where, like, either you're buying something digitally, right? You just download it. It's mm-hmm. So then your box art is, like – of picture while you're waiting for the loading bar to finish, or it's these like $300, oh, God of War, you get the skull and the axe and like the whole, but there's no like just simple, like cool box art. That's true with music too, I guess, but it's like, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. And that's had the liners and all that stuff. And like when you buying like CD, yeah. Also, by the way, one of the things I used to love, which even when you buy Switch games now, there's no instruction manuals.
Oh, yeah. That's mm-hmm. right.
I used to love holding that in my hand. It used to be so fun to have the whole experience of buying a Nintendo game, using the thing that hangs the game to cut the plastic, and then open the plastic up, and then you have your game, you have your instruction booklet, and you have your box, which you keep until there's too many of them and your parents make you throw them out.
until the end of time.
That's correct.
Did either of you guys ever use the notes section? Remember, like every instruction thing had
like
notes?
The back of the instruction manual or whatever.
What are we writing?
I appreciate how they left that though. They're like, hey, listen, if you just want to jot it down as you're going,
yeah.
Do you guys remember Star Tropics, where they actually put in that map? There's a map in Star Tropics that you have to put it in water at a certain part of the game to get more clues about the game.
Stop.
What?
Oh my God. And so I replayed that game on maybe the Nintendo Classic, the mini one. And I got to that part and it's like, what does it say? And I was like, what? Because this didn't exist anymore. I had to YouTube a video of someone doing it so I could get the correct thing.
But it's like, how would you know that otherwise?
Yeah.
It tells you, it's like there's a clue in it that like tells you to like find this thing that we warned you about. And I was like, I was blown away because Star Trop, and by the way, talk about art. I think there was art in that. It was like an islandy type thing.
Ooh, yeah.
But it's like, I was blown away. That game still rocks? Give me a better word. There's got to be a cooler word.
We'll go with rocks.
Yeah, slaps?
Rocks is fine.
Can you say slaps? That's
slaps. Yeah.
Or right. We could just make up a new one. Like it's real, it's real it's real buzzy.
God, you just made it older. You just made it older and worse.
We're going to workshop that a little bit.
555. It's very buzzy. We're getting the reports in now.
I do appreciate all the Easter eggs, and especially in the art for Sonic 2. I love how one of them had, in one of the posters, you could see the Labyrinth Zone. And I gotta ask, because it's one of the, it's kind of renowned for being one of the more difficult levels because it's underwater. But I gotta ask you, why is it always the water levels? Why are those always the obscenely difficult ones?
It's so hard. The water levels are so hard. First of all, you can't go fast anymore. And also you're looking at a countdown. It made me so anxious. I just beat Sonic Mania again. And the water levels in that are so hard. But also the last zone, I guess you could call it, of that game is so difficult.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, the water levels are like, and Sonic in this one goes underwater and explains that he can't swim. And so, which is good because in you don't see him going like this ever in the games.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of references to the games in that also. And it's, and it's terrifying. It's terrifying because when you were a kid, it was terrifying.
I know. I'm thinking, like, I can hear the timer getting increasingly faster. My heart, I just had heart palpitations. Like, it's stressful.
It's so
just
stressful.
To relive.
There, I think, like, in I'd love a game that makes you like the respite is the water level because it's like making everyone, like, kids, like, hate water. Like, come on, man. Like,
by the way,
it's
that's right. The music
out.
In Mario, that sounds like it'd be nice, but it's, if you get hit anywhere, you usually die immediately.
It makes it worse. Yeah.
It's also so funny how, I guess, in video games, when people swim, they just swim up and down.
And down. That's all.
It's true.
It's all we're allowed to do. But you, I know, you know, you mentioned you're filming, doing press for Sonic 2. You're kind of all over the place. You're currently coming to us from a hotel. do you have a Switch? Like, are you playing on the road? What are you?
I bring my Switch with me when I'm in a hotel. Right now, I'm only in New York for 40 hours, so I didn't bring it.
Oh, wow.
I know. God. And then I go to LA for 24 hours, and I go back to New Orleans. But I have my Switch with me in New Orleans anytime I go. And that's like my little, like, I'll take a break. And I find myself, I've beaten a lot of games recently. I beat Celeste. You know what You know what was very frustrating was I beat Hollow Knight. Have you guys played that game?
I haven't.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And what, did you finish the game?
No way. I did not even get close.
I finished it. But because I have to finish things. When I start games, I have to finish them. So it's like, that's why I can't play a role-playing game right now, because I know it'll just destroy me. It can't. Although I play Metroid Dread.
Elden Ring is off the table.
And it drives me crazy because so many people love it so much. Like,
it's
smart
good,
people
huge.
Online, it's enormous. I can't possibly.
I
Open
can't,
world
yeah,
games
too
are
much.
So dangerous for me.
Too much, yeah.
It's too much.
Don't even start. The only way to win, it's war games. The only way to win is not to play.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I'm Matthew Broderick. I always wanted to reboot that, but I guess it's like, we'll see. So I bring my Switch to New Orleans and I find myself playing retro games to relax or I beat Metroid Dread, which was a blast. If there's a new game that I see that I love, like, but I beat Breath of the Wild. I wonder if Breath of the Wild 2 comes out if I grab it. I don't know.
You know what? I just got the new Kirby.
Oh, really?
It's really fun. We were just talking about Elden Ring. Like, it is the exact other side of the coin than Elden Ring. Like, people are, like, frustrated, and it's such a huge thing. Kirby's the opposite. It's pure joy. Oh. It is just, it's so fun to play, you know, because you suck things up and you become the thing. You know what it's very much like is Super Mario Odyssey. It's very much
like
Super Mario Odyssey.
And by the way, I loved Super Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, me too. And so you will absolutely love Kirby. It's just, it's straight joy, man. It's so great. Although it is a little weird because Kirby, unlike Super Mario Odyssey, you know, he's throwing his hat and then you become the frog or you become, right. Kirby eats stuff. And so, it goes in his body. So like, you're like, you know, he
put your mouth on everything.
Yeah, he puts his mouth on a car.
Sounds like a terrible idea.
It's not hygienic. It's not hygienic. So if you're a germy, it's going to freak you out a little bit because everything
is. At the end, Kirby ate himself and had to see who he really was on the inside.
Spoiler alert. No.
I kind of am curious of where it's going to go. I kind of am curious of what's the last level of Kirby, you know?
What are we playing? What is everybody playing?
Oh, I'm so stuck on Elden Ring. I really am.
Twitching?
It's
is
huge.
It like, it must be so fun to Twitch because you can do anything you want.
Yeah, it's fun because you can really get stuck in a boss fights, but then if you just don't want to do anything, if you just don't want to deal with it, you just roam and shit will just happen. You'll stumble upon cool stuff. It's nice to just mess around, but I feel like you do kind of need a palate cleanser in between. So I think I might actually pick up Kirby.
Great.
I think that is a good palate cleanser between Elden Ring.
I'm telling you, those long nights shooting Renfeld, like you wake up, you just want a little sunshine in your life, little sunshine, little pink
guy.
It's
a perfect little slice of joy.
It is. Perfect little slice of joy. Exactly.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places. Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network. So whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
I heard they're doing they want to do a Sonic universe, like the MCU.
You're correct. I can confirm. I can even tell you all the things I'm legally allowed to say.
Yes.
Let's hear it. You pull out a giant scroll. Here are the things.
Well, first of all, this movie, when you see it, is going to set up things in ways that make you very happy.
I love cool. that. Okay. That's one of my favorite things.
So it's like they made me record a thing as Sonic, telling people not to spoil what happens in the movie, so which is great. And also the funniest thing is Paramount alerted me that someone stole the message of me telling not to spoil and spoiled the spoil message.
That's so meta.
I was like, we're so screwed. If they're leaking that, they're gonna leak all the fun things that happened in the movie. Like, this is
nothing
terrible.
Is sacred. No. Nothing is safe.
But okay, so this is what we can. This is what I can reveal. They've greenlit the idea of a third movie. Now, awesome. I mean, it doesn't mean that I have no idea what that movie is, but I know that they're already doing their stuff to start the wheels on that. So hopefully, if the second movie does well, we're off to the races.
It's crazy because, you know, Sonic dies at the end. I don't know if I should say this, but so you would come back as a ghost.
Yeah, you're spoiling. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil the end.
Ghost Sonic.
Yeah, good, right. And then they dip
is that
you,
canon?
You're
that...
liquid metal Sonic. They dip
it's metal,
you in metal
Sonic and Ghost Sonic. And so what happens is basically Sonic saves the day the way only Sonic can, but then he by mistake eats like peanuts and he's allergic to nuts. And that's how Sonic dies. If he's getting of course Sonic allergy. Doesn't die, Aaron. How dare you joke about that? How dare you? But we have that. And also they're already in development for a spinoff series that involves Knuckles. So we're going to have a television Idris version of Knuckles paired with somebody awesome, I hope. And then we have Sonic 3 that's already in development from what happens in Sonic 2. And I think, because Toby Asher is kind of a genius and he looks at the Marvel template and he understands, I think the timeline will go that it's this, then you follow this, then it goes to that. My assumption is nothing will be wasted. There won't be – one of the formats won't influence the other part of the format.
Oh, that's cool. That's
very
great.
Cool.
I love that we're in such a golden age of entertainment now where you can do this thing and do like a series and this, and then I can't wait for the podcast and all these other, you know, like there's just so many different.
This is the podcast.
There we go.
This is the Sonic podcast.
We're turning into
we're rebranding,
the Sonic
baby.
Yeah. Good game, nice Sonic.
I love saying baby at the end of things. We're rebranding, baby.
Baby. I feel like I need to do jazz hands when I say
such
that.
Baby.
Yeah.
But isn't it so cool how like there's so many different vessels now for like ideas? Like, I love that, man.
I think it's also fun. Like, if you look at the Marvel stuff, that's why I think WandaVision was amazing. Do you guys watch WandaVision or not?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I thought WandaVision was amazing because I don't think you could ever do that as a movie. I don't think that works. And I like the idea that you're taking a format and taking a big swing on it. Like, I love that idea. So in our case, a big swing is giving Knuckles, when you see how Knuckles has played his own show, is like, it's you couldn't do it in a movie, kind of, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like it's amazing, and I think it's so smart. But I thought WandaVision was a perfect example of Marvel being like, okay, we can do a television show, let's go for it. What do we want to do that we couldn't do here? And I loved WandaVision. I thought it was so unique and cool. I thought all the actors were incredible. I loved it.
And it's fun to get weird. Like, let's get weird. And also, I think the...
Let's get weird, like, baby!
Let's get weird, baby!
Like, the story... Like, that's the thing is, like, you can really explore some cool ideas with different pacing and stuff. I mean, like, the After Party, man. Like, great example. Like, Lord
what a
and
transition,
Miller,
Aaron. This is unbelievable.
Thank you. Like, the genius... Like, Lord Miller, geniuses. Truly geniuses. And, like, that cast, unbelievable. Like, so, so great. And like, but you couldn't do that in a movie. You couldn't make that a movie.
I am so proud of that show. If it's one of my favorite things I've ever done in my entire career. And I think it's due to Chris Miller being the best. He's a genius. And Lord and Miller are geniuses. And they made a murder mystery that's funny and that people can kind of solve along with us. And everybody has their own episode. Like, so each episode's a different genre, and it's shot like a different genre film. Like, Sam Richardson's episode is a romantic comedy. Ike Barinholtz's episode is an action comedy. Mine is a full musical. Alana Glazer's a thriller. Then we have Zoe Chow, who has a full-on animated episode. The whole thing is animated.
Oh, that's
amazing.
Cool.
Then we have Jamie Demetriou, who's amazing. If you've never seen Staff Let's Flats, his is a high school like party. And then we have Tiffany Haddish has her own episode, which is a cop drama. And then we have the episode that ties everything together and reveals who the killer is. It's great. It's so good. And also, the nerdiest thing is, in the background, this is announced, in the background of every episode, there's a puzzle, an actual puzzle that if you freeze frame or if you see it, you have to decipher. And if you decipher it, it eliminates one of the people as potential things. So like one
that's
of them,
so fun. That's so smart.
It's so cool. And they're like, some of them are impossible. Not impossible. Yeah. Some of them are very difficult. And in the first one, the first episode is, I got the first one in the first episode without knowing about it. I asked Chris, he's like, is this what I think it is? And he goes, it is. And then you can decipher it and it tells you what it's supposed to be. And then, but the other ones are so, like, you have to look for them. You can't just bump into them.
I heard, yeah, like, so cool. I heard in an interview, Chris Miller said one is like a blinking light that's like in Morse code or something.
That's the first one. The first one, if you look in the background of a scene, there's a red light that shouldn't be there. You're like, what is that? And it's like telling you Morse code. And then in the end, when you break it down, it tells you one of the characters is not the killer.
That's so smart. And that's so fun. And I also think that a musical was super fitting for you.
Yeah.
It was a very good format for you.
It was so exciting. It was so fun. They gave me a singing coach. They gave me a choreographer, Kat Burns, who did all the choreography in Rachel Bloom's show, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, that, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. What a
and
show.
And so she was amazing. She also worked on Renfield for a day, so I got to see her over in Renfield.
Oh, my God.
Wow, small world.
Nice.
Is it going to raise your karaoke game? Do you feel like now?
Ooh.
I don't do karaoke. Do you guys have songs? Do you have big songs in karaoke?
Oh,
I
don't. Yeah. Seal, Kiss from a Rose.
Oh, wow. That's a great one.
I didn't have to think about that at all.
That's unbelievable.
That's the first one.
Very quickly. Yeah. I don't do karaoke. The last time I did it was at Sardo's when that still existed.
Oh, my goodness. In New York?
Yep. No, here, like in Burbank, in like the Vons parking lot, Sardo's.
Wow.
But I did Silent Night. In August, as a
you
joke.
Do mostly public domain songs, right?
Yeah, but you know what? The
gotta stay non copyright.
Gotta stay NCP and copyright
NCP always. Sure. I don't want to get sued. You know, it's exactly like the recording. But I will say that joke backfired because there are six verses. So it's like it's funny for the first half of the first verse, right? And you're like, oh, and everyone's like, ha ha, very funny, very funny. You get to verse five, and you're looking down the barrel of a verse six, which, by the way, is in Latin. Yeah, that's a bad
cool.
time. That's a bad time.
Played yourself.
Yeah, yep. Put a quarter in your ass because you played yourself. That is
Oh, that's
true.
Good. That's a fun line. We're all having a good time.
I'm going to steal that.
But I will say, it has to be fun to do stuff like the after party to kind of get those improv-y stuff because you are keeping your chops sharp with your improv, Ben Schwartz and Friends.
Oh, I'm coming on tour.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you guys
tour.
Are in
Let's
LA.
Tour.
It doesn't
Let's
really
tour.
Affect you guys as much.
I'll fly somewhere to see you. It doesn't matter. Anything.
You guys ever come to a show? Neither one of you, I don't think, have ever come to one of my shows at Largo.
That's not. I came to the Middle Ditch and Schwartz at Largo. And I, yeah. And then I went backstage.
That
and
leaves
touched
one
both your
person
chest.
That hasn't come to the show on the Zoom.
Yeah. Jen Samples.
Jen Samples.
Where
Jen,
is she?
Jen has been to a show.
Sure have.
That literally is one person that hasn't been to a show.
Dang it. I'm going to have to.
But Ben Schwartz and Friends is coming too. First of all, I'm doing The Beacon. I'm doing two shows of The Beacon. I'm doing Philly.
Wow, dude, that's huge.
I'm doing a Chicago theater. I'm doing Toronto, which we haven't announced, but I guess I just did right now. We're doing Washington, D.C., Boston. Those are the only ones that I booked, and I think I'm going to try to fit two more in, and that'll be the whole tour.
I'm a little biased, but Toronto will be great.
I love Canada. I've played Canada many times. I lived in Vancouver twice for 3 months at a time. Which place are you from in Canada?
Toronto. I'm other side. But
I'm
yeah.
playing. We're playing there.
I know. I was like, that's a nice excuse for me to not only go home, but finally check it off my
Ooh.
List.
Insane if the first time you came to see a show was to travel all the way to Toronto.
All the way across. The
As opposed to literally, yeah. We play like 30 minutes away from where you live.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth it.
You, by the way, gave me one of the nicest gifts I've ever received. Aaron has never given me anything. I've probably done 30 of his things. You gave me gave me a cartridge of Majora's Mask and even funnier, a cartridge of Wheel of Fortune on N64. So I have a thing in my office of all my games, and those two games are prominently in the middle because I only have two N64 games. So they're just so in the middle. It's such a wonderful thing. I think I was supposed to send you back a very obscure game like The Mask, which I still
That would be incredible.
Do you know what I also remember from that? When you sent that the most expensive way. You shipped that for like 15 or 20 bucks. And I was like, you could have just, you knew where it was.
I think I went to send it, and it was just kind of like, just get it out the door.
The
I'm just signed and
then.
Sent it.
Yeah.
But I remember picking up, because you had mentioned that you had never played Majora's Mask. And that is like my, across all games of all time, I would say probably one of my favorite games. And then when I went to go pick it up, I'm kind of browsing what other N64 games they had. And I saw Wheel of Fortune. I didn't know that that existed. Thought you might appreciate it.
Laughed out loud. It's so funny. Also, you're like, you got to play Majora's Mask. And then you send me a Nintendo 64 cartridge. I don't have the console. I'm like, it doesn't do any. I'm like, so I just have it as like a piece of art now.
There we go.
But I was so excited. I was like, oh, wait, I can't do anything with this. But it's got to come to the Switch. They're opening up for N64 games now. It's got to be over there soon, I think.
It's coming up. It's got to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's just, I bet it's just kind of like a physical NFT. You just have basically just a physical NFT of a
it's a very fungible. It's a VFT. It's a very fungible token.
Very fungible.
Yeah, it's super fungible.
Is there a most famous, so like, you get Twitch. Every time you do Twitch, you see your numbers, correct? You could see how many people have watched and stuff like that. Now, is there a video? Can Twitch things go viral? So do you have a video that's like your most famous video or no?
You know what? I feel like a lot of times it'll just get clipped and then put on YouTube. I feel like YouTube is kind of where it goes viral.
So like,
you know?
They'll clip 2 minutes and then that'll be the thing that gets around. So is there a most famous?
Yeah.
Like if people are introduced to you, is it oftentimes through you playing what game?
Oh my gosh. I mean, kind of
Racing
known
games?
For maybe now, but I actually started more like League of Legends, Minecraft, Counter-Strike.
Oh, wow.
I would say, I think this video is actually private at this point. I might have privated it, but there's a part of the game where you can open cases and you're trying to get like rare guns or rare knives. Knives are like the most rare. It's only like 0.008% or something
Whoa,
crazy.
Oh my goodness. Jeez.
So I was opening cases. It's kind of like gambling in a way. Like you're just opening cases and like hoping that you get something cool. And one time I was just so fed up and I was like, you know what? I was starting a new day. We're sitting down. We're doing cases. And I'm like, you know what? If I get
a
knife.
I already love this, by the way.
Amazing, yeah.
I love this so
I'm
much.
I'm pretty sure this video is private now. I'm like, you know what? If I get a knife on my very first case, I'm just going to get naked. I don't care. Whatever. Like, I'm just going to get, I've like said it as such an off comment. Just like, there's no way. There's literally no way.
0.001% chance.
Guess who got a knife on their first case? Yes.
Did you get naked? Because isn't that illegal on Twitch? Wouldn't that be
Yeah, you can't really do that. Well, so it's funny because I did off camera. And I was living with somebody, so they confirmed, and then I came back on. But it was kind of a workaround, but everyone was a little upset about that. But
I bet the reaction itself must have been amazing when it happened, and then when you got the knife, and you're like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah, yeah.
This is a joke. This is so stupid.
There's no way. The odds.
Like that reaction itself will be very, very funny.
Yeah, yeah. Hence why it was my most viewed.
I feel like Aaron does it all the time where he goes, I'm getting naked now. And then he goes just off screen. Then he comes back and he goes, I was just naked. I was like, there's no way. You were gone for
we have
one
to cut,
second.
We have to cut it out of most interviews, but yeah.
I'm naked underneath my clothes right now.
Oh, that's right. Cute.
Woo, no one can see this. I mean, you know.
Wait, but I know it's about then, but one of the things that reminds me of is I used to, this is so nerdy, but I love, like, I bought, like, a 1991 Marvel collector's card thing, like the Marvel cards.
Oh, yeah.
And I was watching, so I would, like, open it and have so much joy. And I watched, like, an unboxing video once, which is kind of the same thing that you're talking about.
Very much, yeah.
With, like, when you're opening these chests, the idea is that, so, like, there's, like, and someone pulls, like, a Michael Jordan. And I loved
just
watching
so
someone
hyped.
React. Yes. Be like, oh, and they're getting the white gloves are shaking.
trying to sleeve it very carefully.
I love those videos. I've watched a couple, but Then when I got it on like my X-Men thing, it's not nearly as expensive, but I got a hologram and I was FaceTiming with my friend just as like my friend Gil just FaceTiming. And I go, ah! It was like so exciting. It was such a fun thing.
I love how your friend got a private unboxing. That's beautiful.
Right. It was great. Because literally, it's almost exactly what you did. I said, I am two-thirds of the way through this box. I bought a whole box from the 90s. I'm two-thirds away, and I haven't gotten it. I have to get one in this next thing.
Right.
You're like, Gil, I'm going to get naked. I'm going to.
And then I pulled it, and he thought I preset it. He always thinks I'm cheating when something lucky happens. My Oscar ballot was really good this year.
Oh.
And then he's like, you cheated. You looked up what the best choice. I was like, I didn't.
Yeah. How can you cheat?
But I remember I pulled it out, and he's like, did you really just do that? I go, yes, that really just happened. And he's like, I don't believe it. I was like, come on.
Well, look, I have to say, it's very sad. We're almost out of time. We normally do like we ask our guests at the end of an interview their best game, worst game, their least favorite game, or their most favorite. But since this is your second time on, we thought, how about, you know, they're coming up with this Sonic verse. Who are the worst characters to be in this video game character to be in the Sonic verse and the best? And I'm saying of all video game characters of all time.
Ooh, this is a great. So if we're in the multiverse and anybody can exist,
anybody, mm-hmm. it's right. It's you could open a portal to any game ever been.
So someone asked me. They said, "What other video game?" They said, "What other video game would you turn into a?" I was very happy. I said it, and then afterwards was happy with my answer. They said, "What other video game would you want to turn into a movie?" And I go, "I feel like that E.T. video game would make a good movie." Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But like in an adaptation way, where it's like a person trying to adapt. E.T. to a movie and then they can't do it like
I just want E.T. how he is animated in the Atari 2600 game. I want that brought into the universe now
in 4K. So in 4K, yeah.
What would be the worst character to bring into the Sonic universe? What a great question.
But also maybe not because they're a bad game or a bad character, but like wouldn't be a good fit.
Ooh.
Wouldn't be a good fit for that universe.
Oh, Leisure Suit Larry. That's a great one.
That's a good one.
He's in the wrong game. Wrong goddamn game, and you know it.
Yeah, he's constantly making like innuendos, and everyone's like, what are you talking
Lounge
about?
Lounge lizards.
Yeah. Boop, 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 boop.
You had to prove you were 18 years old to play that game. Beginning to ask you a series of questions that only 18-year-olds would
ask.
And one of them was about Joan Rivers, I remember. Like, I was like, what is this? And that's how, when I was 12, I knew a lot about Joan Rivers. That's exactly why I knew it. All right, so who's the... Okay, so let's end on a high note. Who would be, like, a dream character, the best video game character, to add to the Sonic multiverse?
I would, by the way, I would be thrilled if we had, like, Link or Mega Man show up through, like, a ring. Like, you throw a ring, and all of a sudden, you see, like that would be... Amazing. Yeah. I mean, but also think about it. Matters how dark we want to get. You could go Castlevania, or I'm trying to think of like what games were around in the 90s that would make sense for just like. But it feels like Mega Man's a kid, also. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, that kind of makes sense. And a robot ish. Also, I think Dr. Wily and Robotnik, that would be really fun too.
Dr. Wily and Robotnik.
Because Dr. Wily and Robotnik seem very similar in tone.
Totally.
They would definitely team up.
Who would you guys put in? If you got to put, you know what, the movie's kind of all ages. There's adult jokes and kid jokes.
Yeah.
Who would you throw in there that you think makes the most sense? I like that idea. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've been talking about it before we started recording, we've been talking about it during the interview, Kirby.
Yeah.
How strange would that
be? By the way, Kirby would be amazing. Because Kirby, you know what would be so fun about Kirby is that Kirby could suck in like, Adam Pally's character, and then Kirby becomes Adam Pally, and like
I love
Natasha
that.
Rothwell's character. It's a Nintendo character, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. But you know what? A lot of DC and Marvel, if they got together and could do crossovers, I feel like we could make it work.
Look at Fortnite. Well. Fortnite was able to get everybody and everything. Donald Mustard is a genius, man. Yeah, Donald Mustard is a king. Absolutely. So if they could do it, why not? Why
we can make Kirby happen.
I believe it. I totally
agree. Would be so cool. Also, think about how many toys they could sell. Why not?
And that's exactly why it's going to happen. That's why.
And also, you could have it where, like, in it, the Kirby, if you had an actual physical toy, that Kirby could, like, suck up other things and the color of Kirby can change. Oh, like, think about how fun that could be.
Dude, amazing. Cool. I love it.
Kirby sucks up Sonic.
Perfect.
Oh my goodness. And I get to be like, someone gets to pretend to be me, just like Colbert did. Full circle. We get it quickly, Aaron. Yeah. End it. Aaron, quickly. End it.
ladies and gentlemen, Sonic 2 out today. Please go see it. It's incredible. And see the first one if you haven't already as well. Ben Schwartz, everyone, coming to us.
I think you guys are great. I really love this. I love talking to people who are good human beings from two different countries, but also who love video games. So it makes me very, very happy to come back.
That's right. Love you, man.
Enjoy.
Congrats on Sonic 2. And yeah, can't wait to see you rental.
Dang.
Thank you again to Ben for joining us. Round two, it's always a pleasure. He's just absolutely lovely. And honestly, I'm excited to see Sonic the Hedgehog 2 in theaters today. Go check it out. But I'm also excited to see Kirby in the upcoming Sonic universe. Fingers crossed. We can make it happen.
That's right. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. We got into a really fun conversation with Ben about the Sonic universe. I'm calling it the SHU, Sonic Hedgehog universe. Instead of the MCU, you know, it's the Sonic
it's
the Hedgehog
the
universe.
The SHU. I'm here for it.
And, you know, I love, like, you know, because we kind of all decided Kirby would be amazing. He also brought up Mega Man, which I think is fantastic.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Dr. Mm-hmm. Wily and Dr. Robotnik, kind of, I could definitely see them getting together. Who else would we want to see, and who would we not want to see in the SHU?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think Kirby definitely tops the list.
For sure.
There's so much fun you could have with that. There's so much fun.
That's true.
But if I had to think of very just beloved characters that were on the Genesis or in that area, do you remember Toe Jam and Earl?
Do I? Bounce, bounce, bounce.
Let's make it happen. Toe Jam and Earl in the Sonic universe.
Oh, I love it.
Are you kidding me?
That's such a genius idea.
Oh, bring a lot of funk.
Oh my God. Toe Jam and Earl was one of the games that I poured most of my childhood into.
Oh my gosh.
And it got so hard. That's a game that I never beat that I should go back and beat. And they actually came out with, I think it was one of the things, you know how like Sonic Mania was done by the fans?
Mm-hmm.
I think they had a similar thing with Toe Jam and Earl where fans made a new Toe Jam and Earl game called like Toe Jam and Earl Funkified or something. But and it was pretty good. It actually did good service to the original. Yeah, Toe Jam and Earl would be incredible. Let me tell you a character that would be terrible.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely terrible. Do not put this character in the SHU in the Sonic the Hedgehog universe. Wii Fit Trainer. Keep him out. You know that Wii Fit, she's always trying to get people to do yoga. She's constantly like drinking green juice and like judging me.
You know what? Maybe we could use that. We could use a little health conscious forward, you know?
You just know she's not any fun to hang out with.
Sonic gets fit. Sonic gets
He's
zen.
Already fit. He runs everywhere. What are you
yeah,
talking
I guess
about?
He's the most fit.
He's
well, you
the
know
most
what?
Fit.
Maybe because he's always going so fast, this is his time to slow down.
Ooh, now wait a second. That is a good
centered,
idea.
Centered, right?
Ooh, you know what? What are you running from, Sonic? What are you running from?
Oh my gosh. I just got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Put her in.
Are you running from something or running to something? Think about that, Sonic. Think about that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's
Sonic
right.
Sonic he finds himself. He does a little introspection.
It's the first PG-13. It's rated R, but only because it deals with mental health issues.
he really goes deep.
He goes deep. Yeah, for sure.
You know what? I think I feel like it came out of the gate real hot on the negative on that one, but I feel like it could turn into a positive.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who else would be, we were kind of talking about like Samus, you know, like Metroid maybe a little bit might be fun.
I think when we originally were talking about our ideas in the interview, Samus was pretty top of my list. And then Captain Falcon came up really quickly. So maybe that'll be fun. That might be a weird dynamic. I have no idea. But someone else I might be kind of fun. If we can make the whole, again, like Nintendo, Sega universe work together.
Yeah.
If this is a possibility, Yoshi?
Okay.
But does not say anything.
Oh,
always talks in like the, you know.
Kind of like Chewbacca language or R2-D2 language.
We need something like that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like who else, like in the Sega universe that's not currently in the Sonic universe.
Hmm.
What are the other classic Sega game? Like Altered Beast. I'm trying
Streets
to think of
Rage.
Like, Streets of Rage.
I don't know. Castlevania. Right.
Castlevania. Castlevania would be fun. That'd be interesting.
Earthworm Jim.
Oh, genius.
Bring him in.
He'd be great. Because he was like an astronaut, right?
Was he?
Wasn't he like an astronaut suit, Earthworm Jim?
I don't remember it too well.
I didn't play a lot of Earthworm Jim.
What was the, if you think of Sega Genesis,
yeah,
and Sonic is off the table, what are your top games that you think of?
God, Toe Jam and Earl is
Toe Jam and Earl's
is top. I think that's it. It's hard to beat Toe Jam and Earl, I think.
I'm so sorry, but I might have found the winner.
Uh-oh.
I think I just unearthed the winner from deep within the depths of my brain.
The winner for the best character to incorporate into the shoe, the Sonic the Hedgehog universe, is
Echo the Dolphin. Hold your applause, please.
Okay, this podcast is over. That's it. We're ending the podcast.
Let's get out of here.
Right, that's it. That's all. I won't stand for this. I won't. Echo the Dolphin, I will not stand for. That's where I draw the line. I'm sorry. That's going to do it for this week, everyone. Thank you to Ben Schwartz. If you guys have thoughts of who should be incorporated into the shoe, the Sonic the Hedgehog universe, hit us up on Twitter at Good Game Nice Try, and we're going to do our best. We're going to do our best to make this happen. Mm-hmm. I really think we can do it. We can combine our powers. Now is the time. Now is the time to strike. So thank you all for listening. Thank you to Ben Schwartz, and we will see you all next week.
Good Game Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Eduardo Perez, with engineering and sound design by Chester Guasta. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. And a special thanks to Lisa Berm. Music, I don't even have to say it, but John Danik.
Danik, 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 Danik. Boop, doop, 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 doop. It's a Toe Jam and Earl Danik movie.
I love it.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.